Tonight, 8 Democrats voted with the Republicans to allow them to go forward on this continuing resolution. And to my mind, this was a very, very bad vote.
That was Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders last night after the preliminary vote that was taken in the U.S. Senate, a very unusual Sunday night vote that basically laid the groundwork for the opening of the government, or at least opening a path that might end up ending the government shutdown. As it is, we're at day 40 today of the shutdown, and the theme that I've been saying every time we've been talking about this is the same one we keep hearing, that our government system is completely dysfunctional. What you're about to see, what I'm about to show you about what the various politicians are saying, absolutely screams that nobody gives a damn about the American people. They just care about themselves and about throwing rocks at each other. Now, just moments before we came on here, I mean, literally like 6 or 7 minutes ago, President Trump was in the Oval Office and was asked where he is on all of this. And he said some things which brief well, but don't stand up to scrutiny. Here it goes.
We have support from enough Democrats, and we're going to be opening up our country. It's too bad it was closed, but we'll be opening up our country very quickly. Well, I will be. I'll abide by the deal. The deal is very good. We're not going to be giving $1.5 trillion to people that came in from jails and from, the gangs and drug dealers and all of these others that they wanted to be given health care, which would have hurt our health care system. I hope that we're going to be able to have a health care where Lindsay and I were discussing it, Jim and I were discussing it, and Katie, we discussed it. We want a health care system where we pay the money to the people instead of the insurance companies. And I tell you, we're going to be working on that very hard over the next short period of time, where the people get the money. We're talking about trillions and trillions of dollars, where the people get the money.
Okay, there's hardly anything he said there that's accurate. And he started off by, he was referring to what the Republicans claim was the Democrats. He said $1.5 trillion that's not going to go to drug dealers and people from other countries. That's all fiction. Understand that. That's all a lie. A lie. There's no truth to that. The Democrats have been talking ad nauseum. That is not what they're talking about. They point out over and over, it's against federal law for that to even take place. And $1.5 trillion is a literal made-up number out of thin air. There's no truth to that whatsoever. And even if there were some Democrats who wanted to do that, and I don't know, maybe there are, that's not the Democratic policy, but even if it were, then that's something you can say, well, we're not going to do that. We're going to take care of the American people. And then when he pivots over to saying, yeah, we're going to go to this new plan here where we're going to take care of everybody and, you know, something that really works. More on that in a second, because Lindsey Graham, who we mentioned there, actually commented on that. And I'm going to tell you why that is also absolutely absurd. And one of the reasons, and hear me carefully, if you're a big supporter of Donald Trump, if you're a Republican and you are tempted to clap and say, yay, President Trump finally got this deal closed and now we're going to be okay, you're not going to be okay. And this is more underscoring that whatever the politicians are doing up in Washington, we're screwed. Millions, tens of millions of Americans are going to be screwed by this. And by the way, and let me get into some of the details about what this outline of a plan has been released. But let me clarify what has and has not happened. First of all, there was a preliminary vote last night. It was like something necessary that had to get to 60 votes to show that they could actually get the rest of it done later. And so they got 8 Democrats that crossed the line and joined all the Republicans. I think all but one, and they ended up voting for this preliminary movement. What that does is lay the stage for later on this week, potentially, possibly Wednesday or Thursday, to be able to have a vote where the Senate will then formally on paper, yes, say here is our plan to reopen the government, and they have the required 60 votes. But until they get to that vote, there has been nothing agreed to anywhere. This is the outlines of a plan only. And these outlines should worry everybody and will worry a lot of people. And there's a lot of things to be concerned about here. So on the one hand, and listen, my wife is a federal employee. She works at the NIH trying to help our country stay safe and healthy, et cetera. And so this stuff has impact even in our own household. So we see it, a lot of our friends are affected by this. So we understand a lot firsthand about how this is working out. And just as background, I myself lived through the 2013 shutdown. I was in town for the one under Trump that was previously the longest one in the country, and now then this one here from inside Washington. So I've got a lot of personal experience about how these things affect people. Not the people at the top, not the so-called leaders that we have. And I do use that term very loosely, leaders. But these are just people who are a wealthy elite who use us as pawns and tools to get what they want. And they have never been very concerned at all about what we, how things work out for us. That is on display now at a grotesque level, something I have never seen in my adult lifetime. Now, this is the third shutdown that I've personally been here in town for and was part of in 2013. And I'm just telling you, this is off the charts bad here. Let me explain to you why. First of all, the terms. Bottom line is, and this really, really surprised me, the Republicans get nearly everything they wanted and they've given up virtually nothing. I believe it was on Saturday. I did a show, and I showed you Senator Chris Murphy, how he said, "Well, it's going to be pretty hard after the events of last Tuesday, where they had this big blue wave, where there was a overwhelming repudiation of Trumpism and Trump's policies, and across the board, 13 races in the state of Virginia, to include the governor, went to Democrats, where there were more votes for Democrats in every single." District or a county in the state of Virginia from the previous statewide election in 2021. 100% of them had a greater proportion of Democratic votes than they did in the previous election. That showed you that across the board, and there was a similar dynamic played out in New Jersey, there is an overwhelming move against the Republicans, and specifically against Trump, because exit polls showed it was specifically Trump and his policies is what drove them. So one would think that the Democrats would try to exploit that and say, all right, we're going to use that momentum to get the shutdown in and at least get some decent terms. And of course, then everybody's always looking to the 2026 midterms, and both sides can do whatever they want with that. But at least in the near term, you'd think that the Democrats would have said, all right, let's use that leverage. And now then let's get some kind of our terms we want. That's what Senator Murphy said on Saturday that we showed you, and that seemed logical. And then all of a sudden, yesterday evening, I see headline pop up on my phone that says, in fact, it turns out 8 Democrats have crossed the line, and they decided to go over and join the Republican side. More on them in a second. I'm going to tell you what they said. But that was the first big strength. So you had Senator Murphy saying, well, it would be really hard for us to explain to our base why we gave up the only leverage that we had and then handed it to the Republicans, and then about 24 hours later, they did exactly that. So that's the first point. There are 8 senators that crossed over. This continuing resolution, this is the clean CR that the Republicans have been asking for. And make sure you understand, this is not just an end of the government shutdown and we'll be good to go until 30 September. This is just a continuing resolution. This will only get us until January 30th. So it'll get us through the holiday period and through the month of January. And then we'll be right back in the situation we are today. Because the things that kept them from having a budget on October 1st, and the same thing that's been delayed having this negotiation come to a positive conclusion right now, are still going to exist 30 days from now. The fact that 8 Democrats chose to cross over the line to get the government open does not indicate that they are willing to change their position and just do whatever the Republicans want to do. They're still not. So there is, I would even go so far as to say the expectation that the government will be again shut down in January if these the core issue for the Democrats was always the Affordable Care Act, the ACA supplements, and the ability to have some kind of deferment on the cost to the American people, because it was too expensive as it was. These benefits, these tax credits would have run out, will run out rather, on December 31st. So on January 1st, they're going to be out. So the government will be open until 30th January under this, if this comes to pass, and it still is an open debate whether it will. But if it does, it will only be until January 30th, which means there won't be any more negotiations until sometime after the ACA expenditures expire. So there is, and one of the other terms of this is a promise from the Republican leader, John Thune, Senator Thune says they promise they'll have a vote on the ending, the extending the ACA extensions for another year. That's what the Democrats were asking. That's what Chuck Schumer specifically was asking for. And in fact, as I said earlier, previously in a previous show, it was a pretty reasonable request that they were making, given their leverage, that all they asked for, and this is important to understand, especially in light of what you just heard the president say, what you're going to hear some other Republicans say, the only thing they asked for was that the extension of these ACA tax credits to the American people be extended for 1 year, not made permanent, not added, not adjusted, just extended for 1 year. During that time, you can make whatever negotiations you want. You can decide if you want to extend them again and make them permanent, if you want something better, if you want to change it. Anything is possible, but the American people would not suffer. The American people would not have to have this massive bill on top of their, coming out of their wallets in the very first month of the new year. Like, you needed any more stress in this life right now. And it's, and the holidays is always a stressful time, Christmas and travel and all that. And now that you have to know that, well, now then we're going to have to spend less because we're going to have to spend a lot more right after it, right afterwards. So you're adding pressure and stress on top of pressure and stress. And you're setting a condition to where millions, tens of millions of Americans are going to have a big problem paying their health care, or they're going to lose health care. Apparently, there's some studies that show up to 50 million people might lose their health care, and especially those that can't afford it, they're going to. So you're either going to put a huge burden on them, or they're going to outright lose it at all. And then that's, you know, only adding to the burden, obviously. But that's where we are on that. That's not all, though. The Republicans actually got some more things, which is even more concerning and makes the chance of a shutdown on January 30th even higher. And that is that there, this will include, according to this outline of a deal, three full year funding bills. And that is going to be military construction and veterans issues, an agriculture bill, and get this, legislative expenses. So, as I think I've mentioned, that surprisingly, even the staff members of the Senate and some of the House, I believe, their pay also ran out as part of the government shutdown. It didn't at first, but it did subsequently in many cases. And now they're saying, you know what, we want all of our stuff paid up front. So whoever's been paying a price so far for this shutdown, we're going to make sure that if it does get shut down on April on the 30th, is that the veterans are going to be taken care of, our people are going to be taken care of, so I don't have to worry about anything. We'll be fine. Of course, the members of the House and Senate, they never stop getting paid. They get paid separate. So they're cool. But now they're going to say, and we want our staff members. That is so selfish, too. Don't think for a second they actually care about their staff members. This is about themselves. Because if their staff members are furloughed and they're not getting paid, they're not working. So they have to do their own work or this stuff doesn't get done. So now then they want to write into law, Republicans and Democrats both, they're wanting to agree on this, that all of our staff members can come back so we can keep working and we keep getting the use out of them, and then they can get their pay. But we're going to, that's going to make it easier for the next shutdown because, all right, having your vets not get paid, military construction things going on, people like, yeah, we don't like that. That's a problem. And that adds pressure up from the public to get a deal done because they're like, you can't keep not paying the military. You can't not do all these military constructions. And then there's agriculture. The farmers, always a big issue electorally. They make our food. They grow our food, et cetera. So you don't want that. So we're going to take care of that. But then what are you going to do about the air traffic controllers, the other agents that take care of getting people through the security lines, all that? Hundreds of thousands of government workers. You're going to be okay with them not working, or with the air traffic controllers, et cetera, working for no pay. So maybe you're going to get this back pay. That was apparently part of it. That's another one of the terms of it. Terrific. That's great. It's necessary and required. It's not any of their fault. Why should they pay for all this? And yet they keep paying a lot. But that's kind of where we are. So those are some of the big terms. And then, like I said, this promise from the leading Republican, John Thune, that we'll have a vote on the ACA. Well, there's no doubt where the Republicans are going. This vote, we already know the outcome of that. It's not going to be anything different than we haven't already had. And President Trump himself just mentioned a little bit in that soundbite we just showed you there. He's all about not doing that. He doesn't like that plan at all. He's always hated it. More on that in a second as well. As a matter of fact, let's just get to that stuff. Because remember, Senator Schumer had a pretty reasonable, and I've never been a fan of Schumer. A lot of things I've had problems with him, I've mentioned on this show. But his deal there was pretty reasonable, where he said, just extend the ACA credits, right? Well, President Trump issued a Truth Social in which he addressed that very issue there. And he mentioned it a little bit in that that last soundbite where he says, I am recommending to the Senate Republicans that the hundreds of billions of dollars currently being sent to money-sucking insurance companies in order to save bad health care provided by Obamacare, he hates that word, be sent directly to the people so that they can purchase their own much better health care and have money left over. In other words, take from the big, bad insurance companies, give it to the people, and terminate, per dollar spent, the worst health care anywhere in the world, Obamacare. He loves throwing that term up there because he has always had this just like psychological issue with Obama. Unrelated, we must still terminate the filibuster. All right. That is complete BS. It's total crap. That can't even happen. And by the way, let's also make sure you are clear on this. Again, if you're a big fan of President Trump, if you're a big Republican, you need to know the truth. As far back, and I want to say it was 2018, Trump said he entered off in his first term, said he wanted to get rid of the ACA. He said back then it was the worst health care, et cetera, because he hated the name. He hated President Obama, so he wanted to get rid of anything that had his name on it. So that's why he wanted to get rid of it. And he said, made a big deal. He made a campaign speech. I'm going to get rid of it and give you something better. Big, beautiful health care. All kinds of adjectives that he used to say it. And he said in 2018, we're going to give you a new health care plan. He never did. He left office in January 2021. He never produced a plan. He's been out of office for 4 years. He never produced a plan. Was running for president the whole time. That was always a big issue. Healthcare is a big issue for every American. Every person wants good healthcare. You keep promising you're going to do it, and you provided nothing. Now then, here we are in November 2025, after you took office last January. Still no plan. And now then, while the government's closed, you want to say, well, let's just don't have a plan. Let's just don't do that and just give the money to the people. Then they can go get their own insurance. How is that even going to work? Let's say that the Republicans, the House Republicans in both the House and the Senate say, yes, sir, Mr. President, roger that. We'll go ahead and do that. So we'll take this money. I don't think it's even legal to do, to where the money that's supposed to go for health care can just be given to people. How would you do that? What is the plan? What is the mechanism? I mean, the physical mechanism. How would you even assess who gets what? You see, there's no plan thought out with that. That's one of the enduring problems of this entire administration from the time they came in. There is no plan. There is no idea. There's just this concept. And then he just turns it in and claims it's going to become policy, but it's not policy because it can't be executed. There's no way to do it. It would be incredibly complicated. And on top of that, then what? You give a check to somebody and say, now go get healthcare. And now they've got to go find out some independent healthcare companies. And let's just say that nobody just spent the money, which of course, if you put money in a lot of people's hands, they've got so many other needs. They're going to be, whether they should or shouldn't, they will. They're going to just spend it on a lot of stuff. Most people, I would argue, most people wouldn't spend it on what they're supposed to. You just give people cash historically. They just buy stuff with it. They always prioritize other things, and we'll figure that part out later. So you'll be putting people in a position to where they, either through foolishness or through just need, they won't take health care, and then they're going to be in trouble with that too. That's a separate issue. But let's just say that all of them did the right thing, and they all do. Now then you have all these companies. Are any of these companies ready for an onslaught of millions of people? Hundreds of thousands probably per company, some in the millions, literally in the millions, all of a sudden swamp their stores and say, yeah, we're ready for healthcare too. The system isn't set up for that. It doesn't work. It's fantasy. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's I'm looking for an easy way out and screw the American people. And I want credit in the process. That's one of the most aggravating parts to this. is that you're trying to look good and you're trying to make sound bites that make it sound to your people who are just hearing it. They think, yeah, he's taking care of us, because they're not thinking what we're talking about here. They're not going down the actual execution path and see that it can't work. And then when it doesn't work, when it doesn't happen, now we're way down the road. Many people now will have lost it, because we're talking like literally weeks away. This is already the 10th of November. On January the 1st, these subsidies run out, and people are going to be either having this huge bill or they're not going to have health care. And the Republicans don't care about this. I assure you, President Trump may not know any of this. He may just think, yeah, because he does this all the time. An idea occurs to his brain and he thinks it, it says it out of his mouth without any thought going to it. That's what happened with Doge and any number of other things. Just infamous. The way that they handle a lot of this allegedly cutting the government was just done with a proverbial chainsaw, with the results as if you'd used a real one. And then it caused incredible disruption, which then had to be gone back and tried to fix, because they didn't do any forethought at all. They didn't do any planning. They didn't know what needed to be cut and what needed to be kept. And there was plenty of things that needed to be cut. I've been a big advocate of that for a long time. A lot of inefficiencies in the government. Much that you could have done right. And you could have taken care of the people at the same time and still save the government, the country money, and made the government more efficient. It was imminently possible if you did it the right way. But we didn't do it the right way. And that has characterized all the stuff we're doing here. Same in the Red Sea with our military stuff. Trump just says, yeah, go and take care of the Houthis there. Let's open the Red Sea. No thought given to, is it militarily achievable? And it wasn't. And then we stopped doing it. Just quit doing it. Yeah, let's go up and bomb Iran. Oh, I just declared that it was successful. All kinds of information has come out that it wasn't. But whatever, I'm just going to claim that it was. No thought given to what would happen next, etc. Now then, we're talking about maybe going to Venezuela, killing all kinds of people, claiming that they're drug people, claiming that they're drug boats, etc. Lots of evidence to show that that's not true, at least not in all the cases. And aside from the fact that that won't solve the problem that we're being claimed, while we're planning on potentially doing a regime change completely illegally, unauthorized, and violating our own constitution in the process. But whatever, doesn't really care. He just says stuff that comes to his mind, and then things start happening because he's the president of the United States. The people keep getting hurt. The people, our security is worsened because of it. Our reputation around the world is going in the tank. People are more and more afraid of us, and I'm telling you, we haven't seen it so far. But you keep killing, especially if some of these are drug people, cartels, etc., It's a matter of time before they strike back. I guarantee you, they are not just going to go to ground because you whack them, a few of them, and hurt their drug trade. They are infamous for striking back. They just don't. They're not passive people. They're bloodthirsty. They're cruel. They're wicked. They're evil. And when you interrupt their money flow, they're going to strike back somewhere. And I fear that it's just a matter of time before we find it out. That's where we're at right here with this government shutdown. Let's move on, though. What was the next issue here? Meanwhile, while we're doing that, while all the focus has been on this stuff, we're doing more things that are illegal. So, and this also increases the chance of a second shutdown in January. Meanwhile, the administration's head of the Office of Management and Budget, Russ Vogt, has directed payment of the military and law enforcement office. Now, you may think, well, that's a good thing. That's what they should do, except that they didn't do it right. They didn't do it legally. They just said, okay, we're going to move money from one account to another. Now, if that's your private account, that works. You know, you've got one account here, a savings account, a secondary savings account, a checking account, whatever. You can move money from one account to another. It's your bank. You can do it. Not if you're the federal government. There are literally laws against that, because if you have a situation to where Congress authorizes money for whatever issue and it goes to that purpose and it's allocated into the budget, you're prevented, anyone is prevented from going and taking money from that authorized account to move it to somebody else, because then it's obvious what happens. If you don't have that law in place, people will all the time go through all the process of going through the budgets and you know, justifying the money to be spent on this thing, having no intention for it to go there, and instead they want to use it over here for something else, that they know they can't ask for because it wouldn't be approved. So they'll just say, yeah, we'll do it here, and then they'll just move it over. That's, if you didn't have that law, that would happen all the time. That's probably why they had the law in the first place. But this was even asked by Mike Johnson earlier on, the first time this happened, when there was no money to pay the military. And I think it was on the 15th of, maybe in the 15th of October, or for sure on the 1st of November. And they asked him, well, you can't just move money from one account to another. It's illegal. And do you remember what happened? Did you see that soundbite? Because Mike Johnson just had this condescending look on his face. And he said, do the Democrats really want to press that issue? You really want to talk about doing something that's legal or taking legal action to not pay the military? You see what they were doing, right? They were calling your bluff. They were saying, yeah, it's illegal. And your point being what? We're going to do what you want. You're going to say something about it? You're going to take something that's going to keep those American patriots, those military people who are keeping us safe. And, you know, we salute all the time their heroism and all kinds of crap that make me sick because they don't mean it. Because it's just a tool to be used. And they're exploiting the widespread admiration of the armed forces and the members in uniform by saying, yeah, we're going to do whatever we want. There are no rules. There are no laws. We don't obey the laws when we attack another country in Iran. We don't obey the laws when we attack in the Red Sea. We don't use the laws when we attack in the Caribbean Sea, and we're not using the laws here. And as I keep telling you over and over, the more you get by with breaking laws, they're not going to stop there. I've told you that before, and here it is again. And now then they're moving around. It's in the Wall Street. It's in the Washington Post. So it's not hidden. It's out there in the open. And is anyone doing anything about it? Because everybody's so focused on these bigger issues here, and it's become normalized to break the law. There is no law. So the administration will continue to do what it wants. And I promise you, I've been right on this other stuff, and I'm telling you, it's logical here. This will continue. They'll keep doing things that benefit themselves, that harm other people, that are against the law, and no one will hold them accountable. And it's just human nature. You start doing this year, it's kind of at this level. And most people go, well, it's against the law, but I mean, we do need the military paid. There's a right way to do that, by the way. In the damn government shutdown, make a proper deal and they get paid legally. There's no problem for that. This was not a one or the other. But they don't want to do it the right way. They want to do it the easy way. And it's easy to break the law. And so today it's this one. Tomorrow it'll be one that's maybe a little bit higher. And maybe they won't mess up then. And you see that at some point, it's going to be something big. And who's going to do anything about it then? Because you've normalized breaking the law and you've normalized everyone else doing nothing about it. This is a big issue. This is bigger than just the shutdown, folks. This stuff is happening right under our nose, right in front of us. Now, most people aren't talking about this. That's why I am. Most people are just talking about the deal and what it's going to turn into, but there are bigger issues at face here. And then, of course, we have hundreds of thousands of government workers that are continuing to go without pay. Maybe they get their money back. That's part of the alleged deal that's going to happen here. That's certainly good. They deserve that. But they're oblivious to the fact that everybody, whether it's the TSA agents or the air traffic controllers or all the federal government workers, they're all being asked to work. And they don't get paid, or they're not even allowed to work and they don't get paid. And does your mortgage stop? Does your rent stop because your employer chose not to pay you? Does the grocery store just say, here, just take free food. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Does the electric company just say, yeah, we'll keep the lights on. No problem. I know there's a problem going on in Washington. So y'all just keep going. Yeah. Yeah. Pay me when you can. Yeah. Obviously that doesn't happen. And just the stress that's on these people is hard to overstate. And it's just disappointing to me that so few people outside of the government workers and their direct families seem to even care. And definitely nobody at both the right and the left, the Republicans and Democrats, they don't. Oh, they claim to, but they don't. In fact, they use that pain to try and use it to leverage the other side. And for some reason, the Democrats have just handed over their leverage, but they're still doing nothing to take care of the people. I've already talked about the air traffic controllers and you know, that tens of millions, the people are going to be suffering with health care. That's all laying on top of them. And then let's go back here. I want to take a look now. That's kind of what the deal is. It's on the table. That's what's really going on behind the scenes. Those are the fundamentals. Now let me show you what these different people are saying and why I so adamantly, you can see I'm pretty upset and emotional about this today. I guess I don't hide from that, is that both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party are both in it for themselves, and they're not doing anything to take care of the people. I even said, while I understood the logic of what that's the Democratic Senator Murphy last week said about, you know, we just had this big benefit here with this big blue wave on Tuesday of last week. I get it that will benefit you, and then it would be hard to give away that leverage. But if holding on to that leverage means that more people keep getting hurt, and in the end of the day, you're still not going to get what you want, then I said that wasn't a good deal. Now, you might want to argue that, well, these eight Democrats are doing exactly that. They're finally just saying, all right, well, let's just get it over with, and let's turn it out and get the help for some people. If it works out that way, that's fine. But what these Democrats are doing, all it's really accomplishing is it's showing how weak the Democratic Party is and how fractured, even after a success, how fractured they are. And I guarantee you, because the Republicans are not fractured, they are loving this. And let me show you a little bit about why Bernie Sanders, the independent from Vermont, why he says this was such a bad deal.
What it does, first of all, is it raises healthcare premiums for over 20 million Americans by doubling, and in some cases, tripling or quadrupling. People can't afford that when we are already paying the highest prices in the world for healthcare. Number two, it paves the way for 15 million people to be thrown off of Medicaid in the Affordable Care Act study. And all of that was done to give $1 trillion in tax breaks to the 1%. As everybody knows, just on Tuesday, we had an election all over this country. And what the election showed is that the American people want us to stand up to Trumpism, to his war against working class people, to his authoritarianism. That is what the American people wanted. But tonight, that is not what happened.
Now, Bernie is an independent, technically he's an independent, but he, what they call caucuses with the Democrats. So he ran as a Democrat for president in the past, of course, as you know, but he considers himself an independent. He definitely conducts himself an independent. And there's one thing about Bernie Sanders, you may not like some of his policies, but he is one of the few up there that genuinely is focused on the people, and he always has been. And that's why he's so admired and respected really across the board in many places. And he definitely is here too. He's apparently just been beside himself from what's been reported about how all these things are not unlike what we are here. So I can understand that too. And he's right about the fact that that's what the people said. The exit polls confirmed that most of this was in response to what the Trump policies had been doing. They don't like them, so they wanted something else. So one would have thought that the Democratic Party would have closed ranks and actually said, all right, well, let's use this leverage, even if it continued the thing on, which I'm against, but at least on a political level, you could understand them going down that way, but they didn't. Here was one of the other big problems on the Democratic side. This was Senator Chuck Schumer last night using pretty strong language to why he did not like it.
For months and months, Democrats have been fighting to get the Senate to address the health care crisis. This bill does nothing to ensure that that crisis is addressed. I am voting no, and I will keep fighting.
Yeah, that's great that you're going to vote no and that you're the Senate minority leader. Then if you're the leader and you just had eight defections, then you're not leading anything. So for all those Democrats, and by the way, just across social media and across all the country in different places where the Democrats have been talking, they are livid, just absolutely furious with their leadership because of all this fracturing. And you can say, well, we're on Schumer's side on this. They may agree with him. But the fact is that he can't control his caucus and he can't control his people to the tune of eight of them being willing makes you wonder, is Schumer that bad of an internal leader or has something been promised to these people behind the scenes that would make them cross their own party? And still, we don't even know for sure if it's going to work or not. We don't know by them crossing the party, if they're actually even going to help their people. Now, there has been some interviews, and let me show you a clip of about three of them, three different senators explain why they crossed the line.
This is the beginning to show and fight for Americans across the country. Let me just say this. With the government open, we can focus on passing a full bipartisan budget for 2026.
I understand that not all of my Democratic colleagues are satisfied with this agreement. But waiting another week or another month wouldn't deliver a better outcome. So let me be clear. No one in the Senate chamber wants to extend the ACA tax credits more than I do.
I joined this group to make sure that we could get important protections for federal employees. And what we have in this bill is the restoration of all the furloughed employees and a guarantee of their back pay.
Okay, that's terrific for the employees. My wife's very appreciative, as a matter of fact, if it comes through. Like I said, it still isn't a done deal by any stretch, because the Democratic people could be having their viewpoints made known to these eight senators by the time it comes time to vote for the record vote later this week, presumably. Who knows if they still have this outcome. But to say, look, no one wants these ACA extensions more than I do. By doing this, you literally hand to the Republicans, there isn't the hope. One of the other senators that did said, well, listen, if there's at least an outside shot, we should do it because there's a chance of it. But there isn't. There isn't. You have literally just handed into the Republicans' hands this outcome here. There won't be a help on the ACA extensions. They're not going to, the Republicans aren't going to suddenly accept an extension of the Republic. If they were going to do that, they would have already done it, because then they could have had the government open. Do you understand that? It was already on the table. It was categorically rejected by the Republicans. They wouldn't even open the government for that. Now they're willing to do it as long as eight Democrats cross the line. So that's the number that we had. And by the way, one of the reasons I wonder if there was some kind of a deal struck, because there were also some Republicans who crossed the line and didn't vote for this, but there was, I think initially they said they needed five Democrats, but that's if they had all the Republicans. But turns out that there were three Republicans that didn't vote, so they needed eight Democrats, which they got the precise number to get the exact number, 60. So one has to wonder what was going on with that. But let me tell you why I say, besides the fact that the Republicans automatically said no on the extension of the ACA agreements, let me show you what Lindsey Graham has to say about what he thinks about the ACA.
I think this madness ends today. You know, this political terrorism Democrats have been using, shutting down airports, people not getting paid, SNAP benefits, going away, is backfiring. They want us to do two things by terrorizing the country. Repeal the $1.5 trillion in savings we had from the Big Beautiful Bill, making Medicaid more efficient. They want to change the prohibition against illegals getting health care that we had in that bill. And they also want us to continue for another year Obamacare, which is the biggest scam on the planet. Under Obamacare, insurance companies' stocks have gone up about 1,000%. Your premiums have doubled. The only winner under Obamacare is insurance companies. They sign people up, they get paid, and these people don't even make claims. 190,000 people were signed up on Obamacare and didn't even know it. So it's a scam for insurance companies. It's not helping affordability. And Donald Trump gave us a breakthrough yesterday. President Trump said yesterday, I will not accept continuing to give hundreds of billions of dollars to money-sucking healthcare insurance companies under Obamacare. I'm going to give the money to the people so they can buy better and cheaper healthcare.
So given what President Trump said, and given what Lindsey Graham there emphatically said, do you think, Democrat senators, that this vote that's presumably on the other side of you voting to open up the government in December is going to be a vote on the ACA extensions? And what do you suppose the chances are of success there? So if you're one of those eight senators and you say, well, at least we get the government open, at least we get a vote, do you? Upon what basis can you say that? Because the Republicans across the board are unified in the absolute hatred of the ACA. And you hear they not only don't want to extend them, they want to end it entirely, the entire system. But as I pointed out, that's all whimsical, because there is no alternative plan. They've had every opportunity. And that's one of the other things that here is, it's disgusting disgusting when I hear this guy call the Democrats political terrorist because they've been trying to do all this stuff. And literally everything that has happened, he's blamed it on the Democrats, as though those poor Republicans have just sit there trying to do their darn good job. And they just wanted to pass a clean CR so that they get everything that they want. And those darn Democrats wouldn't do it. And so that's what they blame. All these things I'm talking about, the ACA, the health care problems, the people not getting their SNAP benefits now. And by the way, funny how he didn't mention this. It's not been the Democrats who literally went to the Supreme Court to block lower income people from getting benefits to eat for food. That was your favorite president if you're on the red side. You understand that? Why is he fighting tooth and nail to make sure that the lowest income Americans don't get to eat, that they were on these SNAP benefits, food stamps as they used to call them? That means that they make so little money that they need government help, and this has been in place for a long time, so that they can get at least the minimum amount of nutrition. I know some people violate that and abuse it. We're not talking about this. We're talking about the massive majority of people who need it. And by the way, a lot of the studies show that about 54% of those who are using it are Republicans, Republican voters. But I guess they just don't care about that. I don't know what it is. I don't know why he is just so emphatic about harming the lowest income people. But he went to the Supreme Court and they got to stay for 48 hours. But apparently they're trying today to get extended even further. I just cannot for the life of me understand why they want to keep harming the lowest income people. But you have all that. You have all the people I've mentioned who is, you know, aren't allowed to work and don't get paid. These other people that have to work and do get paid. And that leads me to one other thing here. Do not want to miss this. And do not you miss it if you're a big supporter of the red side. Here, just to understand this about the air traffic controllers. You've seen all the shutdowns have been going on, or the reductions in all these airports, and huge difficulties laid out there because of they don't get enough people coming in. They're calling in sick and all kinds of stuff because they're asked to work for no money. Many of them don't have enough money just to survive, so they have to get a second job, and they can't afford to work a full-time job and then go somewhere else. They just can't do it, so they're having to cut into some of it to eat, okay? So this terrible situation, just imagine yourself. If you're somebody who someone tells you, you have to keep going to work every day, and for at least 6 weeks now into the seventh, you're not going to get paid, but you have to come to work every day. And I don't know when we'll pay you. I'm not sure when that's going to be, but you still have to come in every day. I mean, you would be infuriated at that, wouldn't you? Seriously. Just in your own mind, answer that question. How would you feel if the job that you do, if you had to keep doing it and you wouldn't get paid and no one could tell you when it was coming to an end, how would you feel? Well, that is how these people feel right here. And where is the empathy for the president of the United States? Is he saying, golly, I feel for you. I'm doing everything we can. We're fighting for you tooth and nail. I know how awful that is, how difficult it is. But and we're trying, you know, even if you wanted to blame it on the Democrats, we're trying to work with them to get it off, because what a terrible thing it is for all this to happen to you. Economic terrorism, political terrorism, according to Lindsey Graham. No, that's not what the president's saying. What he said in his own Truth Social, I believe this was today. Gary, if you can toss that one up there. Yeah, he says all air traffic controllers must get back to work now. Anyone who doesn't will be substantially docked. For those air traffic controllers who were great patriots and didn't take any time off for the Democratic shutdown hoax, that doesn't even make sense. I will recommend a bonus of $10,000 per person for distinguished service to our country. For those that did nothing but complain and took time off, even though they knew that they would be paid in full shortly into the future, I am not happy with you. You didn't step up to help the USA against the fake Democratic attack. That was only meant to hurt your country. You will have a negative mark, at least in my mind, against your record. If you want to leave service in the near future, please do not hesitate to do so with no payment or severance of any kind. You will be quickly replaced by a true patriot who will do a better job in the brand new state-of-the-art equipment, the best in the world that we are in the process of ordering. The last administration wasted billions of dollars trying to fix antiquated junk. They had no idea what they were doing. Again, to our great American patriots, God bless you. I won't be able to send your money fast enough. To all others, report to work immediately. God bless America. Can you imagine that? In the scenario I just showed you, where you're asked to work full time for no pay and who knows when you're going to get it, and then to be berated by the president of the United States. That is shameful. It is shocking. And I just can't stand it. I cannot believe that the leader of our country has the audacity to dog these people while he's having this big luxurious party for all of his rich friends down at Mar-a-Lago, while he's building a big multi-million dollar ballroom for himself and his rich friends that nobody else is going to get to use. None of you are going to get to use. No regular people will get to use. That's only for the rich billionaire class. Or wiping out the Rose Garden, this historical tradition of our country with all kinds of important historical lineage, just wiping it out and paving it over with concrete so that he can make money and have people come in there and pay money to have basically like it's a rich ballroom or a rich outdoor restaurant of some sort. That's your president. That is the president of our country, who is so incredibly self-centered that all he is doing is bathing himself and his followers in luxury, literal luxury. I mean, it's the equivalent, the easy equivalent of Marie Antoinette. Let them eat cake. So he's having this big luxurious party. I'm sure you saw scenes of it. Just all kinds of debauchery, all kinds of things like that. Just relishing in it of only people. Not far from where I live right here, there's the Trump golf course earlier this year. $1.5 million a plate dinners to raise money. He can't even legally run in 2028, and yet there he is. $1.5 million a plate dinner. And there was others that he had on top of that. Dinners you'll never attend. Normal people will never get to do any of this stuff. And then you want to add insult to injury. And the guys who are keeping our airplanes in the air, who are suffering tremendously, not even a little bit of sacrifice or understanding, just beratement. And by the way, this claim that he's going to give $10,000 bonus is BS. He will never do that. Who knows? Maybe I'll come back and regret saying this, but based on his past and his claims in the to give something to somebody like that, I don't think he even has the authority to do so. I would be shocked beyond measure, but I'm virtually certain, and I am willing to go out on a limb here, he will never give a dollar to anybody. He'll just turn the spigot back on at some point because the government will eventually open back up. But that's where he's at. And I just cannot emphasize enough how dastardly that is and how disgusting it is to have the audacity to call them not patriots while you lavish yourself in luxury and then put this burden on these men and then dog them in these men and women. It's shameful, and I stand resolutely opposed to it. One more video I want to show you, though, and that is the House Speaker. And this just shows you how the Republicans are unifying. By the way, I once ran for Congress as a Republican in the year 2000 in the Republican Democrat in the state of Texas. You don't have to look up the record. I got blown out pretty badly, 2002. I considered myself a Republican for a long time. And then I kind of, after a while, I said, you know what, after about a decade or so ago, I said, I'm an independent. I kind of consider myself an independent. But I used to consider myself a Republican. But I am disgusted by what currently passes for the Republican Party. So I've shown you a Republican member of the Senate. I've shown you the President of the United States, a Republican. And now here, representing the House of Representatives, is Mike Johnson.
As we said from the beginning, the people's government cannot be held hostage to further anyone's political agenda. That was never right. And shutting down the government never produces anything. It never has, if you study history. And so here we are. I want to remind everybody this morning of another critical point that you've heard me here repeat over and over the last several weeks. It's something that I and Leader John Thune and President Trump and every Republican leader have all said repeatedly from the beginning. We have always been open to finding solutions to reduce the oppressive costs of health care under the Unaffordable Care Act. We just made clear that we would not and should not ever do that. That is, negotiate as hostages.
Negotiate as hostages. You should never have a shutdown to promote your political objectives. It's always wrong, says he, as he does exactly that. I don't know. I guess Mike Johnson thinks we're stupid. I guess he does. I guess he thinks Americans are idiots. They'll believe anything. I know. Some people probably do. And those who are bent to agree with the Republican Party are probably cheering that on. But the vast majority of the country is insulted by those comments. You are obviously keeping the government shutting down for political purposes. You hate the ACA. You don't want to have it. So you would not negotiate with them before. You said you wanted a clean CR as long as it didn't include anything that had to do with the ACA. Forget about the consequence of the American people. You didn't care about that. And then when offered a chance to end the deal, end the shutdown with just extending it for another year. So basically you want to have a CR that would go for some number of months, or just say, hey, let's just sign something that's going to get it through the end of the fiscal year, and then we'll try to get this again the next time, which has sometimes happened. No, we don't want that. We only want a situation to where we get everything that we want. So we will continue because we have the House, we have the Senate, and we have the White House, and we're going to do what we want to do. We won't negotiate on the smallest of things. And so we're going to claim the other side is holding us hostage. That's like the thug with a gun who's got a victim in his hand and a gun to her head and says, I'm not a hostage. Quit treating me like a hostage. That's what he's doing. It's unbelievable. And only somebody who's stupid or is just blinded to agreeing with that side and actually is cool with that. If you hate the ACA, you're good with what the Republicans are doing. You're not worried about whether they're violating the law because it's stuff that you like. And as long as they're violating the law and being unethical in ways that you don't have a problem with, as long as the oppression is against people you don't like, you're fine with it. But let me tell you something, folks. That day will change. That day will change. The wheels always turn and it always comes back. And I can assure you that someday Democrats are going to be back in power, and there's probably going to be a day when they're in charge of all three of those branches, House, the Senate, and the White House. They'll remember all of this stuff, and I'll be against that too, because that's not the way it's supposed to work. We're not supposed to be whoever is in the power of authority gets to dominate everybody else. That's not supposed to be the way America runs. So I'll be against that then too. But I'm telling you that you won't like it because it will come against you, and then you'll be crying foul. Guarantee you. Many of the people who are cheering this on right now will cry foul then when the exact same thing is done to them that they're now doing to the others, to the opposition right now, who's in a position of weakness. Our country can't function this way, folks. We'll eventually destroy ourselves. I've been doing a series on the America's Next Civil War. I think we're up to update number 4 on the last one right here, and there'll definitely be another one. This kind of stuff is just going to facilitate it more and more. And there'll be coming a day when then violence explodes. I'll be against that too. I'm adamantly against it. And that's why I'm warning so much that we have to do something now to stop this stuff. And right now, no one's wanting to stop anything. They're just wanting to go further and further. And the Democrats, what little political authority they had from this election, this blue wave here, to my mind, unless they change in between now and the time this Senate vote comes up, have just squandered it away and given it away. And that's just going to make the Republican or the Democrats mad and will raise the possibility of a new party. I doubt it'll come fast enough. It's desperately needed. A legitimate third party. I'm not talking about whatever the rich guy, I just went blank on his name, the guy who runs Tesla, Elon Musk. He's trying to start a third party. No, America's not going to follow. American regular Americans are not going to follow another rich guy and just say, yeah, follow me because I have a lot of cash. That's not going anywhere. It's not going to really get anybody behind it, but we do need a new party, something from the people up. But I doubt that it can come fast enough because I think the damage being done by the two parties right now is just so great that I don't know how we escape this. I pray to God we do. Pray to God common sense and sanity can come up. The only hope that I do have is that the people of our country will at some point make their voices known by whatever peaceful means they can. that can signal to both of these parties that we're not stupid and we're not going to keep just surrendering to this kind of stuff and the lawlessness and just the abuse of the other side. Not going to do it. That's my hope. But it's important for me to convey this, so you need to understand what's really coming on. That's what the conditions and the situation are with this shutdown right now. And we're going to continue to keep a track on it so that you know the truth, because we are unintimidated and uncompromised. I don't care which party's in power. We're going to tell you the truth of what needs to happen. We're going to give you a good idea where it can go if only some people would do the right thing. Thanks very much, folks. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive.